Welcome to the presence of God. God bless you. We want to continue our teaching on the treasures of this revival, and this should be volume 3. The treasures of this revival, volume 3. The treasures of this revival. Okay. And today we are looking at something very interesting. We want to correct a very big misconception in Christianity. We are looking at this creation story in Genesis 1. The creation story. Okay, please still hang that picture, the treasures of this revival. The creation story is what we want to look at. There is a revival that is going on. We've established that, and that revival is in James chapter 5, verse 7. It is called the latter rain revival. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Those rain there, the early and latter rain, is speaking of a move of God. The early rain is what started in the day of Pentecost when the church was planted. The latter rain is the harvesting rain, the rain that ripens the fruit so that the fruit can be harvested. What is the fruit there? It's the church. Before the church will go in the rapture, there must be a revival that will make the church perfect. And that is what is going on now. This church is a product of that revival. I didn't say this church is the one doing the revival. I say it's a product of that revival. It's a revival. It's not peculiar to Bride Assembly Church only. But I can tell you, we are part of that revival. With what God is doing in Bride Assembly Church, in fact, before we started talking of latter rain, I, for one, whilst I seated in the congregation here, before I even became a minister in this ministry, one of the revelations God showed me about Bride Assembly, he called it, I've shared this several times, the latter rain assembly. I will never forget that. It was a dream, but more than a dream. You know, there are some kind of dreams we have that are more realistic than reality. That it was such an experience. So that made me, several years ago, latter rain assembly. And this was when we were still Braham. You know what I mean? When we are still Braham mystic. But now God has brought us beyond William Braham. Oh, somebody's reacting. Please put your hands together for the Lord. So something is going on in the Christian faith. That is why when you come to a place like this, we are different. Different by words and different by practices. You come to a place like this, we sound different. And then God confirms it with the kind of anointing, the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst. The average Pentecostal church, for instance, will tell you, speaking in tongues is evidence of the Holy Ghost. So when we all come together this morning now, as we are taking opening prayer, when I was saying everybody appreciate him, worship him, in the average Pentecostal church, I would just say, "Can you lift up your voice and begin to blast in the Spirit?" Then everybody will start saying, "Okoko Michael." Another person will say, "Orile." Another person will say, "Agege." Another person will say, "Ojota." One will say, K2. Another person will say, "Okoko Michael." For those that are outside Lagos, these are localities in Lagos. And then we all say we are in the Spirit and all manner of things. But why are we different? It is because of this revival that is on. That is why we are coming to the Bible. That's why, what is the revival? It's to restore back the word of God and make the Christian life as it's supposed to be. God will only come for what he planted on the day of Pentecost. It will only come for the church that he planted. You cannot plant rice and then go to your farm and see beans and harvest it. You will say something is wrong. Brethren, that is exactly what is going on in the church. So if God is going to get his people, rapture his people, he must bring forth a perfect church. And that is what the revival is about. It starts with the word of God, because the word is the seed. Correcting all doctrines, correcting all errors. That's why we come here, we tell you water baptism is necessary for salvation. Big doctors that don't know anything about salvation will tell you water baptism has expired. Holy communion, we'll tell you it's in the Bible, it's relevant. We'll tell you when we come together for worship, women, veil your hair. It's in the Bible. Are we together? Despite all the sisters we have that are very gifted and anointed, we have not ordained anyone to be prophetess, prophet, pastor. Why? Bible. So don't think whatever we are trying to do here is man's idea. No. That is the revival. Bring the people back to the do order. Praise the living God. So just note that. So in this revival, God will correct a lot of misconceptions in the Christian faith. A lot of errors that Christians believe, the Lord will open our eyes to let us know what is true and what is false. Also, apart from that, He will take us deep in the understanding of His word. So we are very privileged to be living in such a time. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? So Matthew 13 verse 52, the theme scripture for this series. This series will go on as much as we can, even if I break it and another teacher teaches, because we have many things to look at. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So let's move on. Let's dive into the study of today. The creation story is what we want to look at. One of the greatest misconceptions. I may be a bit fast because it's broad. Sometimes you need to go and listen again, even to that sermon or teaching that you listened to when you were in church. When you listen again, you may understand better. And I do this regularly. Sermons that our daddy preaches during the week, despite I was in church, I still listen afresh. That's how you help yourself grow in the spirit. And thank God for the mobile app, Bright app, where you have access to all the sermons. So you can be walking, you can be driving, you can be doing anything, and you are listening to the sermons, and your spiritual life will be nourished. Because some of us, our spiritual life is malnourished. One of the greatest misconceptions in mainstream Christianity is the creation story in Genesis 1. I will just paint a picture. We might not have the time to take it verse by verse. This misconception is as a result of the lack of revelation. And it has led to several errors in the Christian faith. One of the errors is that this earth is 6,000 years old. The Bible never said so. They'll tell you this earth is 6,000 years old. And then another error is that each day of creation, those special 6 days, is a 24-hour period. When you look into the Bible, those 6 days are not a 24-hour days. 24 hours day, rather. And several things. But through this study, we'll be able to correct those misconceptions and have a clearer picture of the days of the creative act of God or the creation story in Genesis 1. So let's move to the point one now. Point one, next slide. Thank you. The creation story in Genesis 1. We'll read it. In fact, what we see more in Genesis 1, especially those 6 days, he said, on the first day, God said, let there be light. On the second day, He created the firmament. They are not actual work of creation. They were actually restoration. Those 6 days work. If you don't know where I'm talking of, that means you have never read Genesis chapter 1. We will send you to Christian children class if you are not familiar with what I'm saying. Familiar with what I'm saying. We are talking of Genesis chapter 1. Where the Bible says, okay, let's read. Let's take it from verse 3. Take it from verse 3, the 6 days. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Move on. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning we are the first day. So the first day, traditionally, we say God created light. Now see the second day, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So those are the days we are talking of. On the second day, He created the firmament. Third day, He said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth. Go to verse 12. I'm jumping. And the evening and the morning were what? The third day. So up until the sixth day where the Bible says God said, let us make man in our own image. Those 6 days that we call the days of creation is not actually creation. They are restoration. Are we together? Next slide, please. Let's move on. They are not creation. They are restoration. All of creation happened in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Sometimes you may think you know something, but if you are an old member of this church, you'll be anchored in what we are saying. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Where did God create the earth, create everything? In the beginning. God did what? Created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. Back to the slide. All of creation, the original creation, was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's where God created the universe, created the galaxies, created the solar systems, created the planets, created the earth. In fact, created all elements. All natural elements. Because according to science, you hear of proton, neutron, atoms, whatever that make up these natural elements that make up the universe. They were all created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Are we together? And I want you to note something. We are doing Bible study. The Bible that we read, most of us, is English. But the original text of the Old Testament is Hebrew. Many times, the words that are used in English have several meanings in Hebrew. For instance, let me give you an example. Church, we are doing Bible study. Let your antenna, let your mind be here so that you understand scriptures. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. We all know that scripture. Now, show us 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. What does it say? What's the first sentence? Love not the world. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Is God saying we should not love what he loves? It's to let you know that in the original text, in the Greek, what English translated as world, we are two different words. I don't know if you understand me. I've been trying to learn Igbo language. I can't speak Igbo very well. There are some words in our vernacular languages that have different meaning, but the same spelling. Let me use an example. Ramoses, you speak Yoruba.
Obi, Obi.
God bless you, sir. Obi means what?
Man. Obi means heart.
Do you understand it? Do you understand the example you just gave? But now, going deeper. Going deeper. What the Bible translated in English as world has four different meanings in Greek. In fact, there were four different statements in Greek that was all together labeled world. Sorry about that. Oh, please, apologies. We have a little transmission issue, so I have to start afresh for our online members. Sorry. Okay, let's go back to point one, please. May all things work together for good. Go back to the intro, please. Bright TV, go back. Thank you. Sorry, we'll get there. Praise the living God. Okay, so like I said earlier, one of the greatest misconceptions in traditional Christianity is the story of creation in Genesis 1. And the reason for this misconception or misunderstanding is that people lack revelation of the word of God. Many of us have interpreted Bible with traditional statements that were passed down to us. An example is Trinity. The average Christian today in Christian church, even my former church, they will tell you any church that does not believe in Trinity is demonic. Meanwhile, it is the Trinity that is demonic. Do you understand me? But all of us, we saw it that way. Blessed Trinity. The word is not even in the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But do you know the Bible did not say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost? The Bible said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There are two different things. Are we together? And that's the same thing we see in the creation story. Some Christians believe that this earth is just 6,000 years old. And that is why many scientists that have facts, evidence that the earth is older than 6,000 years. That's one of the reasons they don't accept Christianity. Because they have facts that the earth is older than 6,000 years. Then you are saying this earth is just 6,000 years. It started with Adam. The earth did not begin with Adam. That's what we're trying to establish. The earth didn't begin with Adam. If you look at the biblical timeline, Adam is just about 6,000 years ago, the creation of man. But the earth is older than man. According to science, the earth is about 4 billion years old. According to science, I didn't say Bible. Then according to science, the universe started about 13 to 14 billion years ago, the Big Bang theory. Funny enough, I was listening to a scientist in this generation. He said there's even another theory that is older than the Big Bang theory. Sorry, I'm speaking some academic language. He calls it the string theory. He says that one is to understand why the Big Bang. They cannot explain what created the Big Bang or why the Big Bang, but there's a theory now that they are still looking at. The string theory. And they're saying it's older than even the 14 billion years. That's science. But through this study, we'll be able to remove certain errors from us, especially as it relates to our spiritual understanding. Praise the living God. So let's go to the point. Point one, afresh. Next slide, please. So as I said earlier, the creation story in Genesis 1, those 6 days, that was not when God started creating. Those 6 days are actually a restoration. You could call it a recreation or a restructuring. And we will know why. Next slide. All creation happened in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. How many years ago? We don't know. If science is saying 13 billion years ago, it could even be older than that. God is the one that knows when. We don't know when, but it says in the beginning of creation, God created the heaven and the earth. And the heaven in Genesis 1:1 is not God's dwelling place. So if not, you will tell me where God was dwelling before he created heaven. Heaven is anywhere God is. So how can you say God created heaven? So where was he dwelling? You want to make it look as if God has a beginning. God doesn't have a beginning. Praise the living God. The heaven there speaks of the universe. The galaxies, the solar systems, the planets, and then the earth, because the earth relates to man. All elements, natural elements, we are now in the next slide, please, IT, follow me, were created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So where are we? I was trying to establish something. I said, the word that we call world, W-O-R-R-L-D, the English calls it world. But from the original text, 4 different statements were used. But in English language, everything was translated world. So how do you relate? For God so loved the world. Another one, he says, love not the world. And then some other scriptures, you see another thing. It is when you are reading in the context that you understand, no, they mean 2 different things. When he says, for God so loved the world, he was speaking of mankind. Do you understand? Check it in the Greek. For God so loved mankind that he gave his only begotten son. So when he now says, love not the world, he was speaking of the world system. Because Satan is the god of this evil world. But in English, Everything is called world. So somebody that is not doing proper study may be confused. That is why you study the Bible. You don't read the Bible. You study to get understanding. Praise the living God. Why did I make this example? Because of what I want to say. That word created in Genesis 1:1. In Hebrew, it is called bara. It means to bring something, to create something without the aid of any pre-existing materials. Can I tell you something? Man cannot create anything, but man can invent. Oh, you don't understand me. This bowl was not created. It was invented. Why was it not created? Why was it invented? Because it was formed from pre-existing materials. When you say creates, according to what the Bible was describing in Genesis 1:1, there was no raw material that he used. That is why the Bible said God spoke and it was done. He called forth nothing. He called for something out of nothing. So man is not a creator. Man is an inventor. Because everything we make, we need raw materials. But God, when he was making the heavens and the earth, there was no raw material. Let's clap for this God. He's bigger than what people think. There was no raw material. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. Because two different words we are used to describe create in that Genesis chapter 1. We will get there. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read it again. It's a summary. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bam. How many years did he create it together? Did he first create this one and wait billions of years before? We don't know. That one doesn't concern us. But when we get to heaven, we investigate and ask questions. But now, the story gets more interesting. Next slide. The story gets more interesting. Point two now. When you now come to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, a different language is used. And can I tell you something before we read Genesis 1, verse 2? Go back to the slide. Genesis 1, verse 2 is not a continuation. For instance, Brother Moses left Ajengule this morning and he came to church today. That's a continuation. Verse 1, Brother Moses left Ajengule. Verse 2, and he came to church in Ijesha. That's a statement. It's continuous. That's not how Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2 are. Genesis 1, 1 was a summary. Full stop. Genesis 1, verse 2 is not a continuation of what followed immediately. It is the record of another event that happened in the process of time. And we don't even know how long after verse 1 that verse 2 happened. It's only giving you what Genesis 1, 2 is only telling you what happened so that you now understand why God started restoring the earth. Let's read Genesis 1, verse 2. Because I will ask you a question. The earth that God created, and the Bible says, was without form. God created, and then the thing is formless. It was what? And void. And then darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Let's go back to our slide. How can God create something? And that will be the testimony. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of... He's not the author of confusion. But in verse 2 of Genesis 1, what do you see? You see confusion now. Is somebody understanding? We are getting somewhere. We want to give you an understanding. In verse 2, we see a confusion. Meanwhile, God's attributes is that he's not an author of confusion. So this lets you know that Genesis 1, 1 and Genesis 1, 2, they are poles apart. God had finished creation, created a lot of things, whatever was happening, we don't know, but in verse 2, it lets you know that something happened that necessitates a restoration of the earth to the way God created it in verse 1. Do you understand? Now, note another thing in Isaiah 45, verse 18. Read the scripture.
Isaiah 45 verse 18.
This is God speaking. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. Church, read with me. He has established it. He created it not in. He formed the earth to be what? Oh. Did somebody see that statement? He formed the earth to be inhabited, filled with people. But that is not what we see in verse 2 of Genesis 1. Why? Because something happened. I just pray we'll be able to get a very clear picture of this. Praise the living God. Let's move on. Something happened. Next slide, next slide, next slide. The earth. The earth was. Okay, let me point this out for the sake of people that like knowledge. Read Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 again. See something. In English, it says, and the earth was. But in the original text, go back to the slide. Go back to the slide. The word there was, and the earth became. You know it changes the meaning. Mommy, you understand English. The earth was, and the earth became. The earth was without form and void. But when you say the earth became, it lets you know that that was not how it was before. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
When you say something like, let me use an example. And Brother David became the governor of Benue State. That means he was not the governor of Benue State before. Do you understand that? That is what you see in Genesis 1 verse 2. When it says, and the earth was, in the original text, it's supposed to be the earth became. That means void, without form, empty. The way it was described in verse 2 was not the way God created it in verse 1. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Thank you. I know that the sisters did VG yesterday and your president did not close you early. But still be here. You must listen to the Bible study. So what does Genesis 1 verse 2 prove to us? Now we are going deeper. It proves to us that there were other creations. There were other beings, other civilizations on the earth before Adam was created. God's creation did not begin with mankind. You are not the first being, spirit being, that God created. Do you understand something? Because this is a very vital point. It will even help our spiritual life. And it will help you understand, okay, so what is the purpose of existence? Mankind was not the first spirit being that God made. When he made the earth in verse 1, there was a principle. He said, I did not create the earth in vain. I created it to be inhabited. Then we come to verse 2. The earth that he created to be inhabited is now destroyed. That means there was something. Other beings were living on this earth. And by the time you come to verse 2, there was a judgment that made the earth look the way it was. That means we had other civilizations on this earth before Adam. It's a very vital point. So what happened? Where are the people that were here before God made man? Their time has come and gone. God has judged them. Their age has ended, but the earth continues. Now God is dealing with mankind, and our time too will come to an end. After us, you see, many traditional Christians, especially the holiness believers, they've made heaven look like a place that some people don't want to go. Because the picture they give you is that we'll all wear white and we'll just be singing, we'll be choir for all eternity. Everybody will be singing hallelujah. That's the picture that some of us have. When you say you're going to heaven, all of us will just be singing. That's why some people will go and join choir. Let me prepare ahead. That's not how eternity will be. Eternity is more interesting than you can comprehend. Don't think we'll just be white and be going like this. You wake up in the morning, hallelujah, hallelujah, every time, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are activities. The people we call angels now, they were tested before us, before they became angels. And now, they are involved with whatever God is doing with mankind. When God is not with mankind, he will continue his creative acts. We don't know what else he will make, what else he will create. But one thing is sure, those of us that have received eternal life from among mankind, we will be with him like angels. And let me tell you something. When you say angel, the meaning of the word angel is messenger. They were spirit beings like us. In Psalm 8 verse 4, the Bible says something about mankind. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 5. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than who? That means the people we call angels were also spirit beings like us. So they were tested. And I believe that they were tested on this earth. Are we together? We are facing our own tests now. Before God will give you eternal life, you will go through a test. And that is what he created mankind for. He's testing us. So they were tested. And the previous civilization ended with a judgment. Amen. IT, you have gone ahead of me. I have not reached where you are. For the earth to become without form and void means that God judged the world. The previous slide before this, there's something we are missing. The previous slide. Thank you. So this proves that there were other creations, civilizations on the earth before Adam was created. Now, I want you to see something in Revelation 4:11. We sing it as a song, but many of us have not meditated on this thing. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things. What were they created for? All things are created for what? All things are created for God's pleasure. All things are created for God's pleasure. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. For the earth to become the way it was in Genesis 1:2, without form, without void, waste, it means that God judged the world at that time. Now, let's see something. Let's do a quick study. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but what did he do? Cast them down to hell. There were angels that sinned. I will ask you a question, church. He said he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That's 2 Peter 2:4. Now read Luke 20 verse 35. Let's compare scriptures. It says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, speaking of the millennium, speaking of the world to come, and the resurrection from the dead, it says, in that world, we will not marry, we will not be given a marriage, we will not be living the way we are now. And then we cannot even die anymore. Why? It says, they are equal unto the angels. And are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. What does this mean? Is there any angel in heaven that can sin again? Do you know that some people believe that 2 Peter 2:4 that we read was speaking of the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men? That's not it. 2 Peter 2:4 lets you know that those people called angels, they were also on this earth, this set of angels, because this is not Lucifer and his own, this is not Satan and his own host. Satan and his host are not in hell. But this class, this category, he says they are in chains of darkness in hell. Where were they tested that they are, that God said they sinned? They were tested on this earth. No angel now can go against the will of God because they have eternal life. That removes the picture of Genesis 6 where he said the sons of God are the angels. God had finished with them. He's with man. You're not saying angels came. Angels that have eternal life. They sinned against God. They came and slept with the children of man. That's wrong. That's misunderstanding of scripture. They were tested before God created man. This period of time is man's age. So what you see in 2 Peter 2 for that, he said the angels sinned. It means they failed God's test. Let's read that scripture again. Because if we, in the resurrection, will be like angels, and we know that we cannot die, we cannot sin, that lets you know that the angels of God now cannot sin, they cannot die, they have eternal life. But in 2 Peter 2, 4, he says that the angels that sinned, when did they sin? They are part of the people that roamed this earth before. We call them angels to let you know that they were spirit beings like man. The Bible says man was created a little lower than the angel. You're also a spirit being. Let us make man in our own image. God talking to the angelic family. You're also a spirit being. So he's letting you know that these same people walked upon this earth. And because they sinned, we don't know what God tested them with. We don't know how they were tested in their age. But we know that they were tested. And the ones that passed the test, they are the ones that you now call Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, they are the ones that are the angels that minister to the heirs of salvation. But before they got to that estate, they were created beings like you and I, and they faced their test. I don't know if somebody understands what I'm saying. If you understand what I'm saying, say, it's the brothers that are saying, Sisters, you don't understand me. Sisters, if you understand me, shout hallelujah. They were tested like man is being tested today. Not so. Because the earth is God's testing ground. Now let's move on to point three. All this is to let you know that what happened in Genesis 1-2 was that God judged the world. God judged the world. You've heard of dinosaurs. Some dinosaurs are bigger than this auditorium. I don't know how many of us watched Jurassic Park before we became Christians. It spoke of dinosaurs. Some dinosaurs are bigger than this building. They once lived on this earth. We are seeing their bones today. The bone of a particular dinosaur is bigger than Noah's ark. That lets you know that they predate Noah's generation. If not, are you saying it was the flood of Noah that destroyed them? It's not the flood of Noah. Every animal that God created before Adam, Adam could relate to them. I don't know, what's the biggest animal in the sea? Is the whale. On land, maybe an elephant or a hippopotamus, presently. Elephants, bigger than hippopotamus. Now imagine that there's a dinosaur. So they were not created in our own age, but they had been on this earth before. Are we understanding? So that when you read the Bible, don't just read with traditional mindset. So from verse 3 of Genesis 1, now this is as it relates to man. I have judged this world. The former creation, I've judged them. In fact, I got so angry that I destroyed everything. Now I want to create another being. But before I will create another being, I must make the environment conducive for that being to dwell. That is what we start seeing in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Recreation is starting now. And God saw the light that it was good. Go back to the slide. So recreation continues. For a period of 6 days, God restored the earth. So what I'm trying to say also is that God did not create the earth in 6 days. Creation was Genesis 1:1. How long, we don't know. Do you understand? Big Bang said it was 14 billion years. Then the planet started forming. Then when it got to 4 billion years ago, the earth formed. That's science. How long it took God in Genesis 1:1, we don't know. And how many years ago, we don't know. But from verse 3, the 6 days of creation, unquote, they are not creation, they are restoration. If I'm going to create another spirit being called man, Let me create an environment that man can dwell. And the first thing that God did was say, he said, let there be light. And that light in verse 3 is not natural light. But let's go. Let's go on to the slide, please. So for a period of 3 special days, God restored the earth to a habitable and beautiful condition as it was before. And note that these 6 days of creation are not 24 hours days. Because the Hebrew word that is used to describe day is yom. It can mean an era, it can mean a period of time, it can mean a 24 hours days. But that, in Genesis chapter 1, is not a 24 hour days. I want to rush so that I can take your questions. In answering questions, we can make it clearer. But the 6 days speak of an era and not a 24-hour period. So when it says the evening and the morning were the first day, it's not talking of your time, 24 hours. Why do I say so? Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Let me drop this, then we'll summarize and ask questions. Genesis 1, 14. Now, this is the 4th day of restoration. See what God says. God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, and let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to give life upon the earth, and it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. If in the 4th day of restoration, that was when our sun, you know, our 24 hours time is, we pick it from the rotation of the earth around the sun. That is how we get 24 hours time. But it was on the 4th day of restoration that the sun was made visible. So that lets you know that it was not speaking of those creation days or restoration days. We are not 24 hours days. Because it was until the 4th day that you start hearing of the sun and the moon. So please note that. That's part of the misconceptions in the Christian faith. Let's move to the next slide. After restoring the earth and creating living things, God created a new being called man. We have read Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5. And then Adam was the first man created. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Can we read that? 1 Corinthians 15. And so it was written, the first man. Who was the first man? You know why we have to emphasize this? The other spirit beings that lived on this earth, they were not called man. And they were not 100% like us, but they were spirit beings and they had self-consciousness. Are we together? For instance, if you look at the description of Satan in Ezekiel 28 from verse 13, you see his description is different from the description of man, but he's a spirit and man is also a spirit. Because there are big apostles and doctors making mouth today saying, Adam was not the first man created. They don't know Bible. How do you, 1 Corinthians 15:45 said the first man, Adam. What they want to say is that before Adam, God created other things. But seeing that they themselves don't even have an understanding of the picture clearly, they will now make statements like Adam was the first man. Oh. Some of them will even go further and say, where did Cain get his wife? But the Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. And you're still asking where Cain got his wife. Does that not let you know that the daughter of the wife of Cain was from Eve? If she's the mother of all living, why are you asking where did Cain get his wife? Several misconceptions in the scripture. Yes, there were other beings before God created man. But man is a separate being. There had been no man on this earth before. And the first man that God created is Adam. Please let that be settled. Don't let anybody give you big grammar. Let's move to the next slide. The end of God's program for man is after the white throne. The program for man started with the creation of Adam, but it has an end. After the white throne, everybody that failed God's test is cast into the lake of fire. You can take the scripture down. And then if you come to, sorry, it's supposed to be Revelations 20, not 21. Now, if you come to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28, the end of redemption. 1 Corinthians 15, 28, the end of redemption. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. It says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Do you understand that scripture? The office of the Son of God, is for redemption. What that scripture is saying is when God's program with mankind is done, everything now goes back to God. Man has an end. We are not in this life to live forever. After the white throne, everything, those for eternal life enter eternity, and those who failed are cast into the lake of fire. The end for man. Those of us that are passed the test, we are now like angels with God. After this, God will continue being God. He can start creating other things, he can start doing other things, but the only thing is that we will now be, let me use the word, in partnership with God. He will use us in whatever he's doing. Today you hear of angels, archangels. When we read Daniel chapter 10, a particular angel was bringing a blessing to Daniel. And the Bible said the prince of Persia withstood that angel for 21 days. But because Daniel continued praying, in verse 13, Daniel 10 verse 13, there is another description. It now says, well, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Does this not let you know that Michael is greater than that one that the prince of Persia withstood? Do you understand me? This lets you know that Michael is greater than the one that the prince of Persia stopped. Why? How come the prince of Persia could not stop Michael? He had more might, more power. Brethren, it's not because God created him that way to be different from this one. They were all tested. This is what the pastor has been telling us, that when we get to eternity, all of us will not be on the same level. Some Christians will be called archangels, while some will be boy angel. Do you understand me? He earned it. Michael earned that glory. So now he's referred to as a mighty archangel. We are facing our test. We all might be saved, but when we get to eternity, what will determine our glory, our position, is how we served God on the earth. So everything we do in life counts. They were tested. That's why there's hierarchy among the angels. Note this. The earth is God's testing ground. When he's done with mankind, he will still create another being that he will test. And we will be part of it. Just like he said to the angels, let us make man our own image. He will say to us too, come, let us make another thing in any other image that he wants. So eternity is rich. You will not just wake up and be singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The activities in eternity, we can't even comprehend it now. Do you know what Apostle Paul said about eternity? He said, I know such a man that was caught up into the third heaven, that heard things that are not lawful, things that are unlawful for mouth to speak. Are we together? So we have all eternity. And we are not just going to be singers. We will be engaged, involved in whatever God is doing. Now, finally, conclusion, before I allow you to ask questions so that any area of confusion you have, we can clarify you. A proper picture of the creation story will make you see the vastness of God. Don't limit God to a 6,000 years old God. Don't limit God to only mankind. Do you know, I follow astronomy and I believe many things they teach. For instance, this earth, there's one I saw, there's something the scientist said that I saw this week. Imagine your Bible, the letter I, the dot upon the letter I is like the earth. Then the earth itself is like the galaxy, Milky Way galaxy, where we are. You may not understand what I'm saying. If somebody that does geography, that understand what I'm saying. This earth is a planet that is a planet in a solar system called the sun. There are 9 planets around this particular solar system called the sun. Now, the sun belongs to a galaxy that has hundreds of millions of suns. Stars. The sun is a star. It belongs to a galaxy that has hundreds of millions of billions of stars. Then the galaxy itself belongs to a cluster of galaxies. Then that one also now belongs to the universe. And you know something? They don't even know the end of the universe. So science is confused. Science is confused. But this is my understanding of everything. During our Ask the Pastor, I made the illustration. It's as simple as ABC. It's God the whole world. The whole universe. The whole universe is like this. It's like this in the hand of God. One of the reasons why you cannot see God. One of the reasons why God does not have a form. He's too big in his form that you can't even see. How can you? The whole world is in his hand. How do you want to now imagine him? So for God to appear to any of his creature, he must choose a form to manifest to them. That is why he came as Emmanuel. God with us. Praise the living God. So this lets you see the vastness of God and the folly or fallacy of science in neglecting God. Above all, it will let you know that mankind is facing his own tests presently. Like other creations have faced theirs. We are in a test. And the test is whether you will subject yourself to the will of God or not. The earth is God's testing ground. Make sure you pass God's test. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? So please, briefly, can I take a few questions? Because, see, mommy's hand is up. Because I only compressed. Be on your feet if you have a question so that we can know those that have questions. Sharp, sharp. This was just to give a picture. It's very deep. Let's hear mommy. Anyone I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know.
Well done, sir. My question is this. If the 6 days period of restoration is not necessarily 24-hour day, then the Bible tells us that after the 6 days, God rested. Can you describe what could that period of rest be?
The rest was not because he was tired. Does God get tired? No, I'm asking mommy. Mommy, does God get tired?
He's not tired. He's not weary of anything.
Thank you. The rest was satisfaction. The rest was to connote satisfaction. I have done everything. But the rest was broken now when serpents came and did something. Then the Lord Jesus made a statement. When serpents caused the fall of man, since that time, the rest of God ended. John chapter 5, verse 19. There's a statement Christ made. John 5, 19, if I'm not mistaken. He says, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Is it verse 19? Okay, let's see verse. Is it verse 18? He said, my Father walketh hitherto. Verse 17, John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh until now. Why? Because his rest was broken where mankind fell. So he had to begin another walk of redemption. So the rest was just connoting satisfaction. It was not a period of 24-hour days at all. Why? Why is it not a 24-hour days period? Our 24 hours time is from the sun. The revolving of the earth around the sun is where we get our 24 hours. But it was until the fourth day that we saw the sun. So the days before the sun, how was time measured? So those days of restoration, I don't believe time was measured at all. I don't believe it had to do with time. I believe it was just speaking of an era. Now see Genesis 2 verse 4. See the statement that the Bible makes. for you to know that that day is not speaking of 25. Listen, he said, these are the generations. When you speak of generation, are you talking of the 24 hours? He said, these are the generations of the earth and the heaven when they were created. Now, see what he calls generations. He says, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. But in chapter 1, we saw 6 days. But even all this 6 days period, he still called it day. So he's speaking of an era, not a 24 hours day. I don't know if it's clear, mommy. No, communicate with me. If it's not clear, let me know. Which part of it is not clear?
Okay, it's clear. It's clear, sir.
It's clear. Okay, mommy has digested it. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? Brother Johnson, let's say Brother Johnson.
Praise the Lord. The teaching of this morning, I have a Bible quote, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23 to 26. Actually, lays credence to the teaching we have this morning.
Yes, thank you for Jeremiah chapter 4, but I have some reasons for not quoting Jeremiah 4:23. Okay, it will start from, verse 23. Let's take it. I have a reason for not quoting it. It says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. And the birds of the heavens were fled. I believe Jeremiah was prophetically, then verse 26, he starts speaking of cities. I believe he was speaking of the judgment that was coming upon man, upon Jerusalem. Although people have said he was also prophetically talking of Genesis chapter 1. But when I started seeing cities, man, I want to limit it so that we will disprove those people that say Adam was not the first man. This is one of the scriptures they use. But Adam is the first man. Whatever spirit being was created before Adam was not called man. So when Jeremiah is saying, I beheld and there was no man, I want to believe he was speaking of a judgment prophetically coming upon man. But if you see Genesis 1-2 in it, if you see it like you do, there is no problem. But that's my own reason for not using it as an example.
Okay, my pastor. But my question is in Ezekiel chapter 28.
Okay.
Verse 13 talked about the
Satan, the anointed king. Cherub.
Okay. Was it referring to Satan?
Because yes. Yes. Ezekiel 28 was referring to Satan. He said that was been in Eden. But this Eden is not the Eden of Adam. When we treated, I think it was last 2 weeks, Jerusalem, Eden is the presence of God. Eden was not referring this Eden here because you will not see vegetation in this Eden. Can we hang that scripture? What he was just saying was that he had been in the presence of God. It was the anointed cherub that covered it. And when you read on and on, you will discover how it turned from being the anointed cherub and now became Satan. I believe Ezekiel 28 from verse 13 was speaking of Satan. Okay, we have a question there. Is it clever, Johnson? Thank you, sir. Sister Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Sister Ruth. Shalom, Pastor, please, I have a question. Was Satan a man before he fell? Are you seeing it now? Satan was not a man. The reason I'm asking is that, can I complete it? The reason I'm asking is that he was an angel before he rebelled against God. Sister Love, Daniel from Lafia. Ezekiel 28 verse 13, he was a cherub. A cherub. Let's read Ezekiel 28, 13 again. He was a spirit being, but he was not man. Ezekiel 28 verse 13, where we just read. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Where he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covered it. What verse is that? Ezekiel 28 verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. Man is not a cherubim. When you come to Revelations, you see those cherubims. He has four heads. One facing here, one facing here, one facing here. If you see it today, you run away. You say it's a monster. Man is not a cherub. So Satan, rather, was not man, but he was a spirit being. He's still a spirit being. Praise the living God. Sister Ruth, let's hear you quickly.
Praise the Lord, church. Sir, still on the time, you said our...
Shalom,
hold
sir.
On, we have a call. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor Limudo. My question is, is about these 6 days, because the Bible says a day is like 1,000 years for the Lord. Is it right for us to say that the earth was created in 6,000 years?
No. If you do so, you'll still be measuring your 6,000 years from a 24-hour period. Do you understand, Sister Blessing?
In fact,
that statement says a day is, with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. It simply lets you know that God sees time as he sees time, not as man sees time. If you say 6,000 years, you will still be measuring your 6,000 years from a 24-hour period. But we say you cannot have a 24-hour period because the sun was not restored until the fourth day. So you cannot have your 6,000 years because you'll still be talking of the revolving of the earth around the sun. It's just an error. We don't know how long, we don't know how God measured it. But to let you know, it started something, it ended. That's why it says the beginning, the evening, and the morning were the first day. It's just an error. Read Genesis 2:4.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Understand clearly. Thank you. Sir Ruth?
So on still the 24 hours timing. In Genesis 2, verse 2, the Bible said that God rested. So I want to know where they got the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. How did they get the Sabbath day as a resting day?
Okay, the Sabbath for a period of about 2,500 years of man's history, the Sabbath was not mentioned. Abraham did not know anything about Sabbath. Isaac did not know anything about Sabbath. Jacob did not know anything about Sabbath. It was when God started giving the law to the children of Israel that he mentioned the Sabbath as a sign. What was it for? He said, firstly, the Sabbath was not even a worship day. Sabbath means rest. So he says 6 days you walk, you rest the seventh day, just like God did, typing his own. But it was a sign that it was the Lord that sanctified it. I think that's in Exodus 32. So the Sabbath was to let them know that I am the Lord that sanctified it. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it was speaking of what God was going to do. Because God's Sabbath, just like mommy asked, as soon as man fell, God's rest ended. He started walking. So when he gave them a Sabbath, it's to let man know that there will be a time when man will stop struggling and will enter back into the rest of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. That's the rest. I will give you rest, the Sabbath. So it was telling them, it was a law to Israel, because most of those ordinances, we are speaking of Christ to come, including the Sabbath. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, that makes it clear. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Please, if you have further questions, you ask on Thursday. Oh, one sister is up. Please, you'll be the last person. My time is up. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Verse 17 says something. Verse 17. It says, which are a shadow. So God intentionally gave them that law. He didn't give Abraham Sabbath. He didn't give Isaac Sabbath. But he gave Israel because he was speaking of Christ to come. When you receive the Holy Ghost today, you have entered into God's Sabbath rest. Praise the living God. Okay, let me see that scripture. Thank you. This is why he gave them. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Why? That you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. How are we sanctified today? By the Spirit of God. So it was speaking of the grace to come. Praise the living God. Finally, let's hear mommy there.
Okay, thank you, sir. My question is from that explanation you made in Genesis 1. You said God created the heaven and the earth only that Genesis 1. The other ones he did was restoration.
Yes.
My question is, what is the difference between creation and restoration? Because Genesis 2 verse 3 says, God rested after he has created and made all that he did. So what's the difference between creation and restoration?
Okay. Thank you, man. That's why I said sometimes we need to go and listen afresh. The original act of creation was in Genesis 1:1. But in teaching, that was why we explained verse 2. Genesis 1 verse 2. Something happened. God made everything, and anything that God makes, he said it was good, it was good. But when you come to Genesis 1:2, it says the earth became without form, void, darkness. That means something happened, and that is why we established that there were other creations that existed on this earth before Adam. They were tested. And part of the judgment that they faced was that God, part of their test, or the end of their test was that God judged the earth. So now God wants to make another being called man. So he has to restore the earth into a beautiful and habitable condition as it was in Genesis 1:1. It's just like, let me put it this way. You have your house, your parlor. The day you, whether you moved in or you built that house, you created. You arranged it. Let me assume that you arranged your sitting room. Let's say that is creation. Then you went out. Then all your children should turn everywhere upside down. They should even remove the TV, put it on the floor. Turn all the chairs upside down. Remove all the carpet. Remove the rug. Tear your curtain. Tear this. Do everything. Then you came back. You saw your house. You say, eh? Junior, Sophia, you people did all this. After you chastise them, you now start rearranging. That is the restoration. Church, can we put our hands together for the Lord? Please, if you have further questions, ask us on Thursday by 7 p.m. Shall we bow our heads and ask the Lord to take us deeper in the knowledge of his word? Father, cause me to know you more. Grant me more understanding of your word. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord.
Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. If you have been blessed, can you clap your hands for the Lord? Are you not enjoying these things we bring up? Amen. Thank you. This is the attraction. It's what makes the Christian faith different from all other religions. Hallelujah. Because your eyes are open to understand the mystery of creation. I've often asked myself, if this earth is billions of years old, science has proved it. If this earth is billions of years old, and this earth is created to be inhabited, that means since creation, there has always been the inhabitants of this earth. So it means after he has finished with us, he will start another thing again here on this earth. Amen. So the whole mystery becomes clearer and clearer because there are questions to ask. There are questions to ask. Because why will God create Adam and Eve, God that knows all things. That means he knew that he was creating that serpent. That serpent is going to make Adam and Eve to fall. And yet he kept him there. So it is God himself that staged the fall of Adam and Eve. It will sound sacrilegious, but the truth is, be open-minded and try to understand this. So that when you see yourself in the positive side of this program of God, you'll be very humble. You will see reason to serve Him very well. Because we ask, hallelujah, what will happen next? Because the whole process is in 1 Corinthians 15. That is where the whole thing ends. Apostle Paul tells us there from verse 25.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
Who is it that must reign?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus will reign.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Is death.
For he hath put all things under his feet.
Because the time is going to come where we will not. Did that brother come for women program? Did you come for women program? You came for women program?
No, sir.
The only sisters are allowed that came last night. You are the only ones allowed to sleep. Only those who came last night. If you came last night, sleep, they catch you, just sleep. Please read on.
But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he's accepted, which did put all things
so
under him.
So someone put all things under Jesus. The one that put all things under Jesus is not among the things that are under Jesus.
And when all things shall be subdued unto
this
him,
verse 28 is the summary of it all.
Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
Then, so when I read this scripture, I said, so after this, what next? Then you will see why also we have angels, but they are in categories. There is archangel. Like the Pentecostals say, archbishop and the Catholics. Arch. Maybe God make them arch. Now their church make them arch. That was the organizational arch. Because nobody is occupying any position other than the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry is for service. So anyway, why are some arch and some are not? Why are some angels more powerful than others? It simply means they were also tested. Depending on how you pass the test, it will determine the position that you will occupy in eternity in the family of God. He also came, put Adam, and decided to also test him to see whether he will pass or he will fail, so that he will now know where to place him, because the creature itself was subjected. How did he put it? Is it Romans?
Romans 8 verse 20.
Romans chapter 8 verse 20.
For the creature was made subject to vanity.
The creature was made subject to vanity.
Not willingly.
Not willingly.
But by reason of him who has subjected the same.
So we are created to be in expectation of something. Adam was created, but was subject to vanity. So, and it's God that set it up like that. And so, now Adam fell, but the process continues through Christ. And so, you now understand the reason why he gave some 5 talents, 10 talents, the parable of the talent, and he said, occupy till I come. And then when he comes, he will say, come and give account. And every human being will give account of himself before God.
Yes, sir.
But there is also the judgment seat of Christ. It is for reward for those who are now saved. Salvation is free. But the position you will occupy in eternity, you will earn it. That is why it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
To do what?
That everyone may receive the things done in his body.
This is when we go in the rapture.
According to that he had done, whether it be good or bad.
What you have done in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ. The gift that he gave you, those talents, what did you do with it? See, I can't have this knowledge that I have and expect any reward for serving God on earth here. What I am working for is not so that I will build my house here. Those of us who are using the gift that God gave us, including the wealth he has given you, you give account of what you did with it. Many people don't know that. How can I know what I know and make merchandise of the gospel? How can I risk what is awaiting me in eternity and descend to this nonsense that is going on in the churches today? How can I believe that I will give account of my stewardship? Then I will not be careful what I preach. When I know, I will give account of what I did with the grace he has given me. That is why we say, however you see any Christian behaving, it is a function of his revelation. Not too many people are just going to church as a social gathering, so that I belong here. In case I die, may they bury me. In case I am broke, they will pay my children's school fees. That's all they know. You will see pastors come to me. Daddy, I don't understand. I walk in the middle, but nothing to show for it. What it means is, he no get car. He no get money for your account. What has that got to do with the gospel? Which bank account did Jesus have? Our master. People don't catch that. Although he will reward you here and hereafter, but that's not the purpose. That is not what is the incentive. That is not what is propelling us to do. There is something deeper than that. When we finish here, the song that I say, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, all the trials we go through will seem so small. When we see Christ, he said, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race. You may not know me now. You may not know me now. But wait, when we go up, you will see my position. That's what I'm working for. When Jesus comes to reward his servant, musician, tell them, ask them.
Oh,
many of us are ready for the coming of the Lord? Don't just be ready to go. Be ready to occupy a fine position up there. After salvation, nothing will stop me. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Believers, what once you are saved, forget what these preachers are saying. They don't know what we know concerning the mystery of redemption. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. But the question is, are you saved? How do you know you are saved? But if you are sure you are saved, the question is, what next? What next is the reason why he gave you that gift. He gave you that talent. So that he will give you an opportunity to select which position you want to be when we go up. He will give some reward. 5 cities. 10 cities. The one that didn't use, he said, you are a wicked person. You wasted the talent he gave you. And when we talk so much about using your gift here, 2 groups of people are listening to me. 1 are those who have caught it to use it unto God. Then the other group are those who will use it to eat. They will do everything. When we expose them here, finish. When we expose them here, they feel, say, the now, I am known now. Then they will disappear. Men and women, go and set a woman ministry, man ministry. For this same Lagos. Okay. Oh. They will be watching you, what you are doing there. What you are doing there will let us know who you are. Not too many people understand what we are doing in this church. One day God will open your eye to understand where God brought you. People think I am mumu. You think I'm mumu? I not be mumu. Hey, I'm a wise virgin. God bless you. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands again for our God? Thank you.